Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Thank you, Father, for your mercy and grace to be with us, to give us warnings, to show us prayers, and that you want to move the earth and the heavens with our prayers. And thank you for showing us, Lord, how to pray. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I'm going to share some revelations with you. You know, sometimes God gives us dreams, visions, revelations, not so that they are prophetic, but so that they be a warning, so that we repent and pray. You have not because you ask not. So God gives us something to pray about, something to pray against, because he does everything through our prayers. So keep that in mind when we share this with you. And we're calling this Prayer Requests from the Father. Is the president going away? Well, Natasha Barnard had this dream in February of 2019. But we didn't receive it until just now, and probably because God put it in the heart of her grandparents to send it to us. Okay. And because this is the time when we need to pray, right? So Natasha said, it was a meeting at Jeff and Sandy's, and Donald Trump was standing there with his arms raised, praising the Lord. All right. We like that. We would sure like to see that. Maybe this is a symbol that he will be saved at the time, maybe, of this warning. And Hillary Clinton was sitting on a bed in the back room. Well, I guess she wasn't praising the Lord, but she spends a lot of time in bed, in the back room, hidden, so to speak, for all the wrong reasons and all the wrong people. So anyway, there's a word here spoken to her. David said, my good pal, Donald Trump, would like to say something. And Donald Trump, two times, warned that bad people are coming into the country, quote unquote. He said this two times, warning, bad people are coming into the country. Well, the invasion of the enemy has been ongoing. It's been orchestrated by the deep state and by the One World Order and by the UN. It's been orchestrated to put the right kind of people in this country to bring it down. It's been orchestrated. And Hillary said, who cares? Well, of course, if she's leaving, she probably doesn't care. And I think that that's what this is all about. And, of course, it's no threat to her, even if she stayed. Because she doesn't think so anyway. But I got news for you. Anyway, Donald Trump said, Hillary, we've got to go. That's right. He said, Hillary, we've got to go. And then I woke up. Well, this is the portion of the dream that we need to pray about, I believe, because of what Donald Trump said to Hillary. We've got to go. I'm convinced that Hillary will go. The curse is on her so bad anyway. Let me say, I do believe that the Hillary that people are seeing out there is a double. And I've seen them both, and they're quite different. They're different in age. The double makes Hillary look real bad. So I'm convinced that Hillary will go, maybe like George Bush Sr. went and like John McCain went. But if Donald Trump goes, we're in trouble. I mean, not because he's in charge, God's in charge, but for God to take him out of the way means God's going to bring judgment. The forces of darkness, if Donald Trump goes, will once again take over with their agenda to take down Christianity. That was the agenda before he came, and God gave us a respite. And, of course, this taking down of Christianity would remove us from the internet, meaning the gospel will not go forth nearly as easily as it is now. I personally have sent Donald Trump several emails over a period of time, quite a few over a period of time. I saw some things happen that made me think he even paid attention to one of them. He's a busy man. I know he don't have a lot of time for my emails. But anyway, I know that the representatives that receive these emails, if they see something that they think is important, they pass it on. Anyway, and I was, of course, telling him of things to come, telling him of the things that the Lord told us was coming, including that the invasion force will fight against Christians, and that they and Antifa and the deep state will use the sword, famine, pestilence, and fire to attack apostate Christianity. And I say apostate Christianity because God's going to direct this. And the church deserves no less than this because of turning away from God's word to traditions and fables. We need to call upon God for mercy and grace. God hears a cry for mercy and grace. He does. We need to call out to him. And let us pray for Donald Trump to finish the job of Cyrus in taking down the Babylonish deep state, to give us a few years of grace to get the church in order and to get the gospel out. Would you do that? Oh, Father, in Jesus' name, we ask you, Lord, to keep this man in and to keep this job going. We don't deserve it, Lord. Your people have been warned time and time again by the prophets, by the prophecies, by the dreams. Your people have been warned, and they're paying no attention. They're going on their merry way doing the same thing, thinking nothing's going to happen, peace and prosperity ahead. And they don't know that judgment is still ahead. And Lord, in their ignorance, Lord, but among them, Lord, there are people who are innocent. And we ask you to consider them. Even though they're passing through Babylon, they're just passing through. They will see better as you teach them. But they are innocent. And we ask you, Lord, to have mercy on the innocent among them. And give us some time to put the church together so it can stand by the time the middle of the trib comes and the beast makes war on the saints. The church needs to stand up in its original form. And we ask you, Lord, to bless us with this time to do this. Okay, here's another one. And this is about Pelosi and Obama taking over. Again, a warning. Mina Lee Grebin on July the 4th, 2019. She said, I want to share a disturbing dream that was given to me after asking a specific question in prayer about what's to soon come. The first scene was that I was running. I'm not sure from who or what that I was running, but I ran straight into a dark room. I suggest that because of this dream, if it came to pass, Christians would be running for their lives. And I think that's what this is talking about. So she ran into a dark room to hide. And guess who else was hiding in there? Well, we'll see. As soon as I entered the room, I could feel that someone was there. I reached out my hand with my palm facing forward, and I yelled, "Who's there?" And as soon as I said this, my palm rested up against someone's chest. A voice came from this person in a low tone. He responded, "You already know who I am." At this point, it was as though a dim light shone upon his face. There was no way of telling where this light came from, and it was so dim or limited that it only highlighted parts of his face. But it was Obama. Hiding, waiting to do his dirty work. He was taller than what he is in the natural, meaning having more authority, more power, etc. He stood at about 7 feet or so, and I noticed that on his shoulders rested a pair of hands, but they weren't human hands. Although they had 5 fingers like a human, long black talons protruded out of the tips. My eyes then focused to an even taller black silhouette that was standing behind Obama. It was Satan. Yes, if Satan has his way, this is what he will do. And I believe God is warning us that this is what he will do if Christians don't repent and pray and call out for God's mercy. Some people, they believe that this is totally prophetic, it cannot be changed, etc., etc., you know. But we know that all things are possible to him that believeth, right? And that God orchestrates things like that and get this revelation and gives it to us so that we will be impressed to pray and call upon his name, because we have not, because we ask not. The next scene, I was in another room, seemingly next to the one I was just previously in, and I saw 2 creatures standing next to each other in communication. The first one was very tall. He had skin like a human. However, it was a reddish-brown color, almost that of dried blood. And there was a pattern on his skin that reflected that of a leopard. And the second creature was much shorter, but grotesque, jet black, slimy, hunched over. I knew that these were evil spirits. And I asked the spirits their identity. The tall one began spinning many names, including the name Lucifer. As you know, they lie a lot. But I responded with, "No, he's in the other room." The short, black, slimy creature simply said, "I am filth and perversion." They both let me know that they had been assigned to Obama. Yep, makes sense. And then there was a third scene. I was now in the car with my husband. We were parked outside of a diner. The windows to this diner were huge, and you could see all the activity going on within. A diner represents a place for people to eat. People are always partaking of things. You know, we're told not to partake of the unclean animals of the Old Testament, but they were representations of people, weren't they? Yeah. And, you know, the revelation of the sheet coming down out of heaven with the unclean animals on it, Peter got, was the Gentiles. They were unclean, unsaved, undelivered from their sins and their beastly nature. Okay. And the Lord told them to kill and eat. And he said, no, not so, Lord. Nothing unclean has ever entered my mouth, you know, basically. And he said, what I have made clean, don't you make unclean. And this happened three times, and it was received back up into heaven. So he got a revelation that people are partaking of uncleanness from other people. You know, you can be poisoned by people's mouths. Look what's happening when the mainstream media sends slander out. It drives people crazy. It imparts demons to them. Actually, through witchcraft and through Satanism, that's the reason they're doing this, is to impart demons. They know what they're doing. The higher-ups know what they're doing. They've sacrificed in order to have power to deceive people. They sacrificed children. Many, many missing children have ended up in their filthy hands. And they're being caught now. Praise be to God. And we pray for those children that they will be freed and delivered from their torments and the things that have been put into their poor minds and everything and into their bodies. In Jesus' name, we ask. So this diner being huge and partaking of the foods of the world or the peoples of the world could represent a lot of people out there in confusion. We see what's happening to those that listen to the mainstream media and even some Christians. And that faction is put into people. They get demon possessed. They go quite crazy. They can't make any sense. Reasoning is gone, is fled from them, etc. We call them the stupid demons. Not because they're so stupid, but because they make people stupid, right? And there were several large flat-screen televisions mounted high up on the walls. Suddenly, a loud alarm rung from my cell phone, and I picked it up and saw that it was an emergency alert broadcast. Well, we know that the president has set up a system to give an emergency alert broadcast and bypassing the media, which would be necessary if you really wanted to reach people because they're all bought and paid for by the deep state and they're just not going to cover anything. And they're, of course, taking down Christians' stuff off the internet as fast as they can. So the president has designed this, or had it designed. However, it can be inherited by other people, too. Yeah. And when I looked back at the diner, I could see that all the television screens had the same alert. Then the screens changed to the setting of a press conference in Washington, D.C., Nancy Pelosi walked to a podium and began addressing the nation. Okay, this has not really happened. She said that we were under a national emergency. However, she didn't state from what. Next, she said that for the safety of the country, all the planes had been grounded and all the borders had been closed. Oh, this is kind of what you do when you want to capture somebody. You close all the escape routes. No one was allowed to leave. Let me say that in the event of the death of the president and vice president, the Speaker of the House, Pelosi, would act as president, not become president, but act as president. And for some reason, she backed away from pushing impeachment. At the time, I thought she's been shown what they have on her. But it could be also that they had another plan. Impeachment wasn't a sure thing. It would have had to go through the Senate, and the Senate isn't quite leaning that direction, and that would have left them looking stupid. Well, not just looking stupid. Anyway, was there another plan? And did they find out about it? She seemed to be the voice of reason compared to the other four that are being shown in front of the public so much by the grace of God. They're our best friends, aren't they? Anyway, she then went on to say that there would be a formal national address at 3 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. And as I'm watching this from my phone, I'm thinking, where's Trump? Uh-huh. And Pelosi then says, we will be addressed by Barack Obama. Hmm. Well, the House and Senate could put Obama in if there is an assassination. Mina went on to say you could hear the shock and amazement coming from the tones of the press. Everyone was thinking the same thing. What happened to President Trump? Once again, I looked over at the crowded diner and I saw that some people were in a panic, while others seemingly cracked a smile. Well, we can figure out who's who there pretty quickly, right? The conservatives would be faced with a communist Islamic takeover of the U.S., and great persecution would be the result, with civil war because of the assassination. So, of course, the nut jobs would be smiling, and the rest would be in panic. So let me point this out to you. Wikipedia points out the United States presidential line of succession is the order in which officials of the United States federal government assume the powers and duties of the office of President of the United States. If the incumbent president becomes incapacitated, dies, resigns, or is removed from office, like via impeachment by the House of Representatives and subsequent conviction in a trial by the Senate. Okay, well, one thing they didn't mention here, but it is true, if he is assassinated. Dies, I guess, covers that. Presidential succession is referred to multiple times in the U.S. Constitution, Article 2, Section 1, Clause 6, as well as the 12th Amendment, 20th Amendment, and 25th Amendment. The Article 2 Succession Clause authorizes Congress to provide for a line of succession beyond the vice president. In other words, if the vice president is taken out with the president, that would be their job, to provide someone to succeed the president. And this has been done on three occasions. Okay. Now my thoughts. Okay. Article 2, Section 1, Clause 6 of the United States Constitution authorizes Congress to enact such a statute. Congress may, by law, provide for the case of removal, death, resignation, or inability, both of the president and vice president, declaring what officer then will act as president. And such officer shall act accordingly until the disability be removed. Of course, if it's an assassination, it won't ever be removed. Or a president shall be elected. Okay. This, and of course, this doesn't ever have to happen, you know, if you're under martial law. None of this has to happen. I mean, you're just under a dictator, period. And this would mean that the House and the Senate would have to vote on who is president. Since it's unlikely that the Senate would vote for Obama, it is possible that some of the Senate would be taken out too, or blackmailed, or threatened. This is the way of communist insurrections. So, they have a plan. They have a plan that they are going to try to execute. The current Presidential Succession Act was adopted in 1947 and last revived in 2006. The line of succession, I'm reading in Wikipedia here, the line of succession follows the order of Vice President, Speaker of the House of Representatives, that's Nancy, President pro tempore of the Senate, and then the eligible heads of federal executive departments who form the president's cabinet. The Presidential Succession Act refers specifically to officers beyond the vice president acting as president rather than becoming president when filling a vacancy. All right. So we can see that the dream here could actually physically come to pass. I mean, it's not doctrinally wrong. And of course, you could argue whether this is a prophecy or whether it is a warning. Okay. I'm not taking any chances. I'm acting as though it's a warning, right? And Father, we thank you for helping us and giving grace to us. You've been very merciful to the church in the United States. We ask you to continue. Lord, so many are ignorant, even of their own sins and their evil ways and the captivity that they're dwelling in underneath the beast. Lord, have mercy. We ask in Jesus' name. Then she said the dream ended. And she said, there's more I need to add to this, but I don't want to make this post too long. Since being shown this, I recently, within the last couple of days, was given another dream revealing the details of the certain types of Christians and right-winged people being detained and sent to detention centers here in the U.S. Well, you can see that if this dream came to pass, this is a distinct possibility, more than a possibility, because the right wing is now locking up left-wing people right and left. The left wing would obviously do the same thing. They're much more vicious, much more intent in destroying both Christianity and freedom in America, staying in power, staying in the line of the money that they get for all the wars that they start and all the hatred that they do. They're being paid well. And so they don't want to lose this. They're greedy. They have no patriotism to the United States. They hate the United States and everything that it has stood for in the past. So, locking up. Now, we saw a vision like this of pastors being locked up in detention centers many, many years ago. Okay. Was it a warning then? I don't know. We'll find out. I'm sure it goes to politicians, conservative commentators, conservative people, anybody in power that doesn't agree with their communist Islamic doctrines. She said, before closing, I will reveal this. A dear acquaintance of mine who is also in the prophetic, contacted me shortly after Trump called a national emergency. I shared this little piece with you once before. In order to obtain funds for the border wall. She said that she was not allowed to reveal this in public. Well, it's happening now. But that the Lord spoke to her and said that the national emergency is in place. It will never be lifted, but rather it will eventually be turned into martial law. Well, I've suspected the same thing, that it's the end of free elections. And you say, what about the guy we got in there now? Well, he's in there. You know, he's in there. They got to get him out or he's going to continue. But behind him is not going to be a freely elected president, I don't believe. And we will stay under martial law, which means that whoever's in there gets to call the shots. And if President Trump is removed, not the majority will rule here, because we know for a fact that the House is in the minority. They're just very vocal, loud, always in your face, and they generally get their way because they bluff people into doing what they want to do and cheat and steal and lie and kill and murder and so on and so forth. So they do anything that they can get away with to overthrow the country. So it's not a majority. A majority put Trump in there. No, this is the way communists do things. This is the way Islamic people do things. They believe in lying to the unbelievers. That's us. And so lying is a part of their doctrine. So, and murder and anything else they can get away with. Yeah. So, martial law makes whoever is in the office of the president a dictator. And when she said this, I was on the freeway driving home. Cold chills ran down my spine. And for a split second, I actually felt fear. About a month after she told me what was revealed to her is when the Democrats voted to have the national emergency reversed. I was secretly hoping that it would be overturned because my friend's words haunted me. So, when Trump vetoed the bill and the declaration stood in place, all I could do was pray. Well, Mina's had quite a few dreams that didn't come to pass. I'm not sure whether she understands or not that some dreams are not supposed to come to pass. They're actually supposed to be prayed away. They are warnings, and people need to cry out to God for mercy. He hears that prayer most often, I believe, because nobody can really stand on the grounds of how good they are to get God's attention. So it's good. She's praying. And by the way, if martial law is in place and the president is assassinated, the appointed president would be a dictator and the balance of powers would be totally overthrown. Our country would be overthrown, which I tell you is eventually going to happen. But I don't believe now, and I believe that's why we need to pray and call upon the name of the Lord and et cetera. Some people get something and they think it's a prophecy automatically, and they speak as though it's a prophecy. But I speak that we need to overthrow some things. Like Jonah, his prophecy was a true prophecy, but it was overthrown and didn't come to pass. And quite a few others, Amos, etc. So these are, of course, warnings. And you know, when Amos cried out, God reneged a couple of times, you know. But he said eventually it was like a plumb line. He's going to judge according to the word, right? She said it was shortly after this, while in prayer, that the Lord said he was going to give me the answer about what's to come. And as with all things, take this to prayer. Yes, I agree. call on the Lord's mercy and grace to put this threat away. If the president is not assassinated, there could still be civil war. Because the scriptures are clear that Babylon will take down apostate Christianity. Of course, Christianity is typed as Israel in the Old Testament, right? And it was taken down by Babylon. But they are also clear that the culmination of a Red Sea judgment on Pharaoh and his army is going to come. And by the way, it happened at the time of the passing over of the destroyer. I shared with you from history the eyewitnesses in that time who looked up and saw Planet X. Of course, they called it other things. One of the things they called it was the destroyer. Exactly what the Bible says. Then we received dreams of the parallel faction in the church being taken down. Okay. As you know, the faction in the government is being taken down. This is putting the pressure on them to make war in every way they can, because the guys at the top don't really care how many foot soldiers are killed underneath them. They just don't want it to reach to them, okay? And that's what's happening, because the more they take in these people, the more they rat on the higher-ups, and the more trouble they get in. So, pray. Pray that they be taken down. Pray that Cyrus finishes his job. Yes, we don't deserve it. We have no reason to go before the Lord because of the works of the people of God or the church to say, do this for us. We can cry out for God's mercy and grace because the church is in a mess. And it's there because of ordaining people who are not leaders and who do not know the Bible and do not have a conviction of obeying the Bible. So the church is scattered and shattered. Okay, so here is a revelation. It's a revelation to us locally, but it can be seen on a larger scale because the things that have been are the things that shall be, and the things that have been done are the things that shall be done. There's no new thing under the sun. And what God is doing in these days, he's doing around the world. So again, you can see this on a larger scale. And we call this because it's quite literally, factious leaders' electronics taken down. And it was given to a young man, Isaiah Garza, on July the 16th, 2019. And he's had some good dreams, so pay attention. I had a dream that I was at Walmart in spectator view, like in a video game. I was not physically in the store. There were a lot of people shopping, and I saw the present factious leader. I did not see his face. I have never seen this man, but I knew it was the factious leader. Of course, a name was there, but we're not given the name at this particular time. There is going to come a day when it's all going to be known. So, it's just like what's happening in the government. You know, they've talked generically, about people being taken down, but now names are starting to come forth. And it's nasty. It's so nasty that even these people who don't have a conscience don't want people to know what they have done, the evil and the wickedness that they have done. And that's true of both factions, the faction in the church and the faction in the government. It is so bad that they don't want people to know what they have done. So Isaiah went on to say, he was asking another factious man whom we know and works there where the electronics were. So he wanted to know where the electronics were. Well, first of all, we have been told by Father that he would take away his electronics, his ability to harass people, steal from people, lie, cheat, on and on, and take away his electronics, especially his phone and computer and whatever he uses to attack us, stalk us, which he has done, got caught at it, and hack into our equipment, which he has done. Let me say that I know that if he had any money, he would not buy a phone or a computer from Walmart. He's only an Apple guy. That's all he gets is Apple. So this is probably a sign that he doesn't have much money left from his last job when this comes to pass. So Isaiah said, in the blink of an eye, everyone disappeared and he was naked. Well, this is what's happening now. Just look out there on the political scene. We've been told there's a perfect parallel between what's in the government and what's in the church. Okay. Nakedness means here that his sin will be revealed for all to see. He would look naked to his friends, and he would look naked to his enemies, since God is the only one who could judge him like this. In parallel, the deep state faction in the government is losing its electronics and intelligence, and their sins are suddenly all being revealed too. Witchcraft in the church and in the deep state is still Satanism. All of it is Satanism. Now, the people who proclaim that they're Christians when they're in faction are in fact not Christians. There is no possible way. Okay, Christian is Christ-like, and he is not, does not have the nature of these wicked people. It's Satanism. Satan rules. This guy here has been seen sitting behind the computer as a big demon whose name is, I'm not going to tell you right now, not yet. We've had more revelations of this person than any other previous factious leader, and we know everything about him. So it's still Satanism. Sacrificing the children is in both camps. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He grabbed a Walmart bag to cover himself up. He went to go look for some clothes, but there was none. Well, now, Walmart's full of clothes. It was just that there's no way to cover this up. There is no way to put a good spin on this, as they love to do. There's no way you can talk your way out of this. They're great at lying and slandering, but they're not great at telling the truth. And he went to go look for the electronics that he needed and could not find them. And that was the end of the dream. God is going to make it impossible. And he's making it more and more impossible as we speak. We know this. Well, let me just say this. I know that the next dream ties into this one. So with him unable to attack us with his electronics, he would use his closest partner from a previous faction to do his dirty work. Notice the dream about the partner doing this below was given on the exact same day as this revelation. So he was taken out and someone else was being used. Ah. And it is the factious leader that is cooking up the slander to make his partner's spiritual food. So here it is. And this was given to Marlene Laughlin on July the 16th, 2019. And it's all about his factious partner. hosting a devious dinner. I had a dream that the partner had come into a lot of money. They lived in a Tudor-style mansion. Now, they really don't understand dreams much when they get in this state, so they might be celebrating, but this is not something to celebrate here, as we'll see. So they lived, that is the partner of the factious leader, lived in a Tudor-style mansion. And I heard the word Tudor in my ear. It stood very stately down the left side of a long private driveway with a lot of green grass. It's on the left, right? And that's where they are. They're leftists, like the leftists in the government. They're crazy and they're leftists. Okay. That's what that, when those demons come on you, that's what it does. A lot of green grass that looked almost like a carpet. So very, very healthy grass. But the thing is, grass, all flesh is as grass, Peter said. And it would all be destroyed. All bushes were immaculately trimmed flat on top, which accentuated the two bushes on each side of the door, which were larger and trimmed around. So I asked the Lord if this was literal or spiritual riches, even though I knew it was spiritual riches, and he gave me that it was spiritual riches. Okay. And spiritual richness in the Bible is very negative, as we'll see. You know, in parallel, the rich elite over the beast government have ruled behind the scenes for many years. They don't care how many people they kill. Their Lord Satan wishes them to kill people, especially innocents. You know, Satan loves the blood of innocents. That's why he loves to destroy children. And these Satanists have sacrificed many, many, many children. And, of course, the rich hate Christians and Christianity and have destroyed it whenever they could. They have killed many Christians through war and taken away the rights of Christians in this country. The righteous and blessed are the poor in spirit, as Jesus said. Right. They're poor in spirit. So spiritually, they are poor. They are humble. They are lowly. Right. But the rich are cast as the wicked. And their description fits very well the faction. This is what the Lord gave to me. Why is this person who is so evil? Why are they now rich? Okay, but the richness is not a good thing. A few verses I pulled out, Mark 10 and 25. It's easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God, because they trust in other things besides God. God is really not God to them. Their idol is their God. And their idol is their self, and their idol is their riches. Luke 1:53 says, "The hungry he hath filled with good things." That's the humble, right? "And the rich he has sent empty away." The Bible says, "He that giveth to the rich shall come only to want. But he that lendeth unto the poor shall receive it again." And some Bibles say with the greatest of interest. So God doesn't really want us to bless the rich. You know, Christmas time is pretty perverted in any sense of biblical understanding. You know, people give to people things that they don't even know that they need anything. They're just giving them something because they're keeping this goofy thing alive so that the merchants can make money. But the Lord told us to go and find the poor and give to them, and then we would have a reward. Luke 6 and 24, but woe unto you that are rich, woe, for you have received your consolation. In other words, you got your reward. Remember the rich man Lazarus? And he told the rich man, well, on earth you received your good things, but now it's Lazarus's turn. Ah, so you get your good things on the earth, you don't get them later. Notice what he said, you have received your consolation. If God gives riches to a Christian, he'd better use them for God. They don't belong to him. He better use them for God. And that's not so he can store up his treasures on earth, right? Jesus said, don't do that. So it's got to be spent. You got that? Luke 12 and 21. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Yes, he told that man who tore down his barns and built bigger ones that this day they require thy life of thee. That the things he had laid up, they required that God take his life. James 2 and 6, but you have dishonored the poor man, talking to the rich. Do not the rich oppress you? Yes, Jesus was perfectly right. It's true in the government. It's true in the church. Do not the rich oppress you and themselves drag you before the judgment seats? Yep, they always try to use their power against you. James 5 and 1. Come now, ye rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. God's going to judge the rich. So this is not a good thing. And then Merlene said, I knew it was the partner's home because I had a flash picture of him, because we all know him, facing the front door from the inside. And there were two long, narrow windows on each side of the door. From his shoulder up, I saw his profile. He had sideburns that were an inch wide that came just below the earlobe. He wore a medium brown sport coat with a white dress shirt open at the throat. It's brown because it's like the brown shirts, right? They were hosting a dinner with a cook. And that's where the Lord told me who the cook was. And his crew preparing the meal. The smell of beef was there. Let me say that the factious leader is the one cooking up the fleshly meats for the faction now. He's lied to the people around him. Of course, they believe him, but they shouldn't because they know that they're liars too. They believe him, but he's cooked up a bunch of slander, stupidity. It's all going to be known. I knew that the children were upstairs and were not to be seen or heard, and they were being cared for by a nanny. So let me say that neglect is what usually happens to the faction's children. They sacrifice their children to Satan. And God's spiritual children they sacrifice too. And that's with their slander. You see what happens when people speak slander by the false prophet media out into the world. Look how many nutty people are left out there. This thing is in a geometric progression from here to the end. Why is it that we're going to be hated of all nations for his namesake? How could it happen? We know how it could happen. We've experienced how it can happen. I didn't see his partner's wife, but I knew that she was there. I'm not sure if she was in agreement with him or not. People were arriving in very expensive all-black vehicles at dusk. Well, that's a bad picture, isn't it? They're They're in vehicles representing their lives, being in darkness, and at the time of darkness. With a limo first in line, and they stopped in a driveway that circled around the front of the house. They all got out of their vehicles and went inside. And when Don and I got into a limo earlier, there was already a couple sitting on the right side facing forward, and we became sitting across from them facing backward. And I saw them from their knees down, and the woman had on a tan skirt that was just above the knees, and the man had on gray trousers. A walk of death, right? Well, besides Merlene and Don being there to be a witness to what was going on, this represents that some of local UBM may hear the slander. But you know, UBM is being cleansed of those in idolatry, fornication, hatred, witchcraft, faction, by this test from the faction. So they will now have little to no success, because these are the people that have overcome. They've proven it. And God's about to bless them. Of course, we should cast all of this deception down by faith. I mean, we got this as a warning. Let's cast it down, okay? Put our faith together, cast it down. Yes, Lord, we ask you, we send forth the angels of God to bring an end to the faction and its evil works, its plots to deceive and destroy your people. And thank you, Father, that you have used them to cleanse the church. Because nobody that's an overcomer, nobody that's not walking in sin, would listen to their lies. Same thing in the government. Nobody would listen to those lies and that slander unless they were walking in sin. So she said, by faith at random, I received Job 20 and 20. Because he knew no quietness within him, he shall not save aught of that wherein he delighteth. Yes, they've got a constant railing of demons inside of them. They know no quietness. They know no peace. And all that they love will be taken from them. That's just as this says. Now, here's the good news. And this was given to Merlene also on July the 19th, 2019. It's good news. Something we've been praying for diligently. And I know that some of the faction don't believe we pray this, but we do. Every time we speak about this, we pray for them, you know. So I had a dream of another sister and me going to a mansion to rescue a child. Okay, you know what children can represent. And then we went up to the house. It was a very small house, the size of a garage. So this is representing a small group of the witchcraft faction. The outside of this house had been white at one time, but it was filthy now and unkept. Well, that's because they once knew the truth, but turned away and were separated by factious demons in order to cleanse God's body. She said there were black streaks of smut and grime from years of neglect. Yes, it's true. Some of them have been in this for years and years now, and they've neglected their spiritual life. They do nothing to keep up their spiritual lives. I've had them tell me in their meetings that they don't study the Word anymore. They just play music. Okay. Well, the word is what keeps you alive, right? But if you're full of demons, you don't really talk the word. I've tried to talk the word with them, and they won't do it. They just ignore you. The sister and I parked out front and went to the door. We didn't knock. We just went in. Didn't want to warn them they were coming, right? The house was just like an empty shell. It is empty of any of the furnishing of God, right? We walked through what could be the living room, but with no furniture. So no spiritual furnishings from the Lord. We stopped at the kitchen doorway. We saw a woman, maybe 30 years old. She had long, dark hair that was matted and dirty, stuck out in all directions. Her clothes, meaning her works, were filthy, stained with food, in other words, spots and blemishes of sin, torn. Her eyes were wild-looking, demon-possessed like the leftists. And when she looked at us, we knew it wasn't just her looking back at us. So she is the corporate body of the witchcraft faction, demon-possessed, more than her looking back. When she would speak, different voices would come from her. Again, demon possession. And sometimes she would yell. We were looking around for some signs of a child. In other words, a fruit or a remnant who is coming out of her. Then we spotted him. This child had just learned to walk. And he kept saying, "Milk, milk." I said, "He's hungry." And the woman said, "You can't have my child," in one of her demon voices. "There's the fridge. Open it," she growled. And when I did, one of the shells had been removed from the bottom part. And this is what I saw. 6 piglets that were all facing out. There were 3 on the bottom and 3 on the top of them. Well, you know, 6 is the number of man, and it's the number of the beast. And pigs represent unclean food that they partake of, that these people partake of. It's in their refrigerator, right? And scripture says their God is their belly. They serve their flesh like a pig, right? They slowly started to open their eyes part way to look at me and then close them again. Well, they really don't have any interest in true Christianity at all. Their only interest, their only vision of their need and want in life is to destroy Christians. There was nothing else in the fridge. The sister moved out of the kitchen, and I picked up the child and went quickly to the front door. The sister had run out the door, and I quickly followed her. I had the toddler and moved to the driveway, thinking it would be quicker than going through the high weeds in front. But then I realized that I was walking in black cinders. Let me say, I believe this is talking about, as we've had in other dreams, this falling from the sky, I believe is talking about volcanic activity. It is a judgment that God is going to bring on the wicked. And it's increasing now because of Planet X. And she said, "And my feet sunk up to the ankles. Well, that's the way this stuff does. It piles up, piles up, piles up, and then breaks down roofs and so on and so forth. You can't breathe it. It gets into your lungs and destroys your lungs, etc. But this may represent a timing. In other dreams, there seemed to come out of nowhere this falling from the sky. And the only thing it could possibly be there for is a timing, you know. So I'm thinking this may be the same way. This is a timing. There is much magma activity at this time. It's causing earthquakes everywhere because the sun is upset and it is going in at the poles and its energy is expanding the magma. And it's running everywhere, causing earthquakes and volcanic activity. But I believe something greater than that is coming. Even higher volcanic activity because of the approaching Planet X effects on the sun. And then as it passes around the sun, its own very magnetic effects on the Earth. You know, Earth... tides happen. The sun, when the Earth turns, it has an Earth tide. It actually pulls the Earth, the outer layer of the Earth, towards itself. And this is much worse than the sun. When it passes around the sun and even passes over Earth's circuit, it's going to be devastating, as it has been in all past history. I was picking up one foot to take another step, and I couldn't bring it up, and that's when I woke up. So it's pretty thick and heavy, and I'm wondering, I felt like a super volcano had gone off. They just discovered another super volcano over there very close to where the earthquake destroyed that underground naval base, which was as big as Rhode Island, which had babies as prisoners in there and children as prisoners in there, et cetera, et cetera. Terrible thing. It was under the cover of making weapons. Well, they're making weapons out of people. Okay. But it got destroyed. And I received for this dream, by faith at random, Hebrews 10:29. In context, 28 through 31. And it's very accurate as far as depicting the people. A man that has set at naught Moses' law dieth without compassion on the word of two or three witnesses. How much sorer punishment, think ye, shall he be judged worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified as an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that said, Vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. So this is some of his people who are wicked, flaunting his law. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Now, you know, when these spirits are on them, they don't have sense enough to be afraid of God. And we also know from this exact text that their willful disobedience will bring judgment upon them. Just back up two verses, Hebrews 10:26-27. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment, and a fierceness of fire which shall devour the adversaries. You know, we are so grateful that God will get a remnant out from among these people. that they will escape captivity. That, by the way, the scripture teaches that they will bring this witness of what happened to the nations. Yes, these are witnesses of what was done. They've repented of what they did. We've had dreams about these people that repented of what they're kind of like Paul, who repented of his destruction of Christianity, his hatred and murder of Christians and so on and so forth, and how he repented and in his way wanting to make up for it, he became the greatest of the apostles. So pray for the elect among them. There's nothing you can do for the rest of them. Pray for the elect among them, that God will open their eyes like he did Apostle Paul, whose scales fell from his eyes, right? And he understood, he saw his sinfulness, and he repented. How awesome. Lord, we do ask you in Jesus' name to deliver our brethren from captivity, Lord. They once knew the truth. They were in a white house, but it got filthy. They no longer believe the truth. They don't even remember it. It's been taken from their mind, much like the Lord said Satan would do. It's been taken from their mind. But we know, Lord, that you're doing this to humble a few. A few will be humbled, like Paul was so humbled that he wanted to make up for his evil. And Lord, we know that you have chosen a few from the foundation of the world, and that the elect among these factious people will turn to you by your grace. We ask you to do a quick work, Father, in the name of Jesus. And I believe that you will do this, Lord, before Planet X crosses planet Earth. In other words that we've received, which I think are, we had one day, and I haven't even considered them. I hadn't had time. I could have put a page of these things on here. All that morning, there was judgment against the faction. Now, but this is one, this is a day after that. This is actually on the 19th when we got this revelation here, or after it. Judges 7:13-15. This was a word received by faith at random on the 19th by Brandy. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man telling a dream unto his fellow. He had come to the enemy's camp. He wanted to hear what they were saying. And he said, behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley. Barley, of course, is first fruits, right? A cake of barley bread tumbled into the camp of Midian, and came unto the tent, and smote it so that it fell, and turned it upside down so that the tent lay flat. Who was it that destroyed the Edomites? It was David. And also, in Ezekiel 34, it speaks about the apostasy and how God turned the kingdom over to David, which was a long time after physically David lived. So he's talking about this end time David man child. And the Lord was there, and David was there, and he gave him the authority and the kingdom. And then the next chapter, he judged the Edomites and destroyed them. So he's giving this authority to the Davids. And one day soon, we will know who they are. It will be God's choosing. So anyway, this first fruit, which in this thing, I believe typed Gideon as the first fruit, tumbled into the camp of Midian, their enemy, and flipped it over, destroyed it. And his fellow answered and said, this is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. Into his hand God hath delivered Midian and all the host. And it was so when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof that he worshipped. And he returned into the camp of Israel and said, Arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. Saints, he was talking to you. He was talking to us. He was saying, people of God, arise, do warfare, take down the factious spirits. God has spoken. All right. Another word received by faith at random on the 19th by Shalanda. Malachi 1:1-5. The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, says the Lord. Yet you say, Wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother? Saith the Lord. Yet I loved Jacob, but Esau I hated, and made his mountains a desolation, and gave his heritage to the jackals of the wilderness. Whereas Edom saith, We are beaten down, but we will return, and build the waste places. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, They shall build, but I will throw down, and men shall call them the border of wickedness. And in other words, Edom, that was the border of wickedness. In other words, Edom was wicked. And the people against whom the Lord hath indignation forever. Because he's used them as a type of the faction, the most wicked faction, who is trying to destroy the gospel, keep it from going out, and destroy the people of God. But he's there being a test. And it's a test that the people of God have to go through to prove who's who, you know. And your eyes shall see, and you shall say, The Lord be magnified beyond the border of Israel. So God is bringing down the faction movement. Now, I mentioned Planet X. It's very interesting that we received some verses about this. Again, on the 19th. So we got the destruction of the Edomites on the 19th, and now we got this on the 19th. So these are Planet X words we recognized as that in our morning meeting. If you remember Eve's dream of Planet X coming to destroy the Earth was given on May the 20th of 2019. In which she was told that the destruction would come from 6 months to a year, which ends on May the 20th, 2020. And that's when Terrell's predictive programming from Earth effects showed Planet X crossing Earth's orbit with a pole shift. And I would say that the destruction could well begin 6 months before this and culminate with the flyby of Planet X at the year's end, when in history it was reported to be at the time of the Passover and the Red Sea destructions, just before the wilderness tribulation. And I believe that 6 months before the flyby, which is where Eve said that it could start, she said from 6 months to a year, right? 6 months before the flyby, the faction is being taken down. Not that they're being taken down now. From the very day that they entered it, they were taken down. Their families were taken down. They fell more and more corrupt, more and more evil, more and more wanting to destroy the work of God. Okay, so here they are. And these words were received by faith at random on the 19th. This one was given to Vanessa. Jeremiah 48:1-8. Of Moab, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, woe unto Nebo, for it is laid waste, and Kiriathaim is put to shame, it is taken. Misgab is put to shame and broken down. The praise of Moab is no more. In Heshbon they have devised evil against her. Come and let us cut her off from being a nation. Thou also, O madman, see they represent the madman. Thou also, O madman, shalt be brought to silence. The sword shall pursue thee. You know what we've seen in the dreams and revelations, that God comes with Planet X, the destroyer, to punish Egypt, as he did, and to deliver his people, as he did. Remember, the Lord himself came with the destroyer, and he said he wouldn't let it enter into the houses of the people who had the blood on the doorpost, who were living and walking in and out under the blood. But if you're in willful disobedience and you're unforgiving, you're not under the blood. Not possible. You're not even saved if you're walking in that way. You can be saved through judgment, but you're not saved. And if a person's taken out in that place of willful disobedience, they probably will be totally lost. Okay. The sound of a cry from Horonaim. Desolation and great destruction. There's the destroyer. Moab, who, by the way, factioned against their brother Israel as a type of the church. Moab is destroyed. Her little ones have caused a cry to be heard. For by the ascent of Luhith, with continual weeping shall they go up. For at the descent of Horonaim, they have heard the distress of the cry of destruction. It's the destroyer, right? Flee, save your lives, be like the heath in the wilderness. For because thou hast trusted in thy works and in thy treasures, thou also shall be taken. And Chemosh shall go forth into captivity, their God, right? His priests and his princes together. And the destroyer, which was the name given to Planet X as it passed over the Egyptians and the Israelites. Notice, by the way, that the Israelites hadn't dug a hole in the ground, which they're recommending that you do if you're a lost person. That's the part they don't say. If you're a lost person, you better dig pretty deep. They say you got to be so many feet underneath the ground or the waves of destruction will destroy your brains. Anyway. And the destroyer shall come upon every city. Hey, that's a big destroyer. And no city shall escape. The valley also shall perish, and the plain shall be destroyed. This is a great destruction, as the Lord has spoken. Well, we know that God hides little things like this in there to talk to people like us, who he's already spoken to about what's coming. The destroyer, Planet X, comes on the world, destroying the earth, and the wicked, who have no Passover, as when the Israelites left Egypt, and the Red Sea, under Planet X's effects, you know, the people of God went right straight into the wilderness, which is the tribulation, according to Revelation chapter 12 and Revelation chapter 17. And it destroys those who have been chasing God's people. We know who's chasing God's people. It's the faction in the government, and it's the faction in the church. They're chasing God's people, always wanting to destroy, always wanting to bring into bondage. These are demon-possessed people. And as we saw, God is going to save an elect from among them. We're very happy about that. We've been praying for that. In fact, we've prayed for the Lord to save them all, but he gave us understanding that that's not going to happen. In fact, I believe he showed us that one-third of the faction will return to the Lord and the rest will be reprobated. Here's a word received by faith at random on the 19th by Barry. Again, we all got these on the same. And again, this is about what we see here, hidden in here, is Planet X. Habakkuk 3:6-19. He stood and measured the earth. He beheld and drove asunder the nations. The nations. Lots of nations out there. What's going to cause them to run, scatter? And the eternal mountains were scattered. Well, it takes something pretty tough to scatter the mountains. The everlasting hills did bow. His goings were as of old. I saw the tents of Cushan in affliction. The curtains of the land of Midian did tremble. Was the Lord displeased with the rivers? Was thine anger against the rivers? Or thy wrath against the sea? Well, there's going to be a great disturbance of rivers and sea. Again, we learned that because of the tipping of the earth and the slowing or stopping of its rotation, that water is going to go places it's never been, and it's going to be dried up in places it's never been dried up, except probably the last time Planet X came through, or possibly. That thou didst ride upon thy horses, upon thy chariots of salvation. This is speaks of the Lord. He's coming to save a people. From who? Oh, Pharaoh's army? That's a good type right there, right? Who's chasing them? Thy bow was made quite bare. The oaths to the tribes were a sure word. Selah. Thou didst cleave the earth with rivers. The mountains saw thee and were afraid. The tempest of waters passed by. The deep uttered its voice and lifted up its hands on high. The sun and the moon stood still in their habitation. Hey, look at that. The sun and the moon stood still in their habitation. What could cause that? Well, the flyby of Planet X stops the Earth's rotation, sending water on the coast. I think it was like 800 or 900 feet more water at the equator than there is as you go towards either pole. And, of course, it's there because of centrifugal force. If you stop the rotation of the Earth, these waters from the equator rush north and south. That's a lot of water. And, of course, it covers the low-lying states and nations. And it also causes a pole shift, putting half of the hemisphere in darkness and the other half facing Planet X, which is not a good thing. Now, what I've heard is that it grabs the South Pole and pulls it towards it. Do you know that most of the people of humanity live in the Northern Hemisphere? could get pretty cold if the North went away from the planet X. Now remember, Earth is being racked by the greatest earthquakes anybody's ever known. All of the Earth is being racked like this. If you get an earthquake on one side of the Earth, you get one on the other side of the Earth. Strange. Yes, the deep earthquakes shake on both sides of the Earth. So this is a big, bad thing. It may be the mercy of God that all mankind is not destroyed by pulling the South Pole towards Planet X. Because like I say, I don't know, 90-something percent of mankind is in the Northern Hemisphere. So, at the light of thine arrows, as they went, well, let me back up just a little bit here. We want to talk about why the sun and the moon stood still. But if the rotation stops and the pole shift happens the way that I described it, or maybe some other way, it would definitely fulfill that verse. So at the light of thine arrows as they went, at the shining of thy glittering spear, thou didst march through the land in indignation. This is a great and terrible day of the Lord. Not the great and terrible day of the Lord mentioned in the Bible literally, but as I've said before, there's two times when a sequence of events happens that's very similar. It's before the tribulation and during and after the tribulation. The Lord is perfecting a bride and a man-child ministry before the tribulation. The dragon is chasing them, seeking to devour them, but failing at that, he enters into the tribulation where the woman is in the wilderness and then goes after them. See, that's two times that the dragon, Satan, in a body of people of 7 heads and 10 horns, which is all nations, tries to destroy a people. And why? Because history repeats. What's happening before is going to be repeated during and at the end of the tribulation. So, we've got a great and terrible day of the Lord coming here. And it's not the literal one spoken of in the Bible. That's at the end of the tribulation period. But this is a great and terrible day of the Lord. And his anger and his wrath is going to go forth against those people who have persecuted his people. He's going forth through the land in indignation. Thou didst thresh the nations in anger. Thou wentest forth for the salvation of thy people. Notice, what is he going to do? He's bringing wrath upon those who are chasing his people. For the salvation of thine anointed. The anointing is what? Those people who are filled with the Holy Spirit. Anointed. Thou woundest the head out of the house of the wicked man. Oh, so the head of the wicked man. Could that represent the leadership? I believe so. They are more guilty than the average person that they have deceived. They are more guilty. Laying bare the foundation even unto the neck. Selah. Thou didst pierce with thine own staves the head of his warriors. They came as a whirlwind to scatter me. Their rejoicing was as to devour the poor secretly. Except the Lord don't let them get away with it, does he? Mm-mm. You know, we've received some types many, many times concerning this. You know, the Northern Army in Joel chapter 2, you know, the Sennacherib scenario, you know, Pharaoh at the Red Sea, Jehoshaphat and the armies that came against them, God took credit for destroying all of those enemies personally. Yes, he spoke through prophets, but he did it personally. He was very personal about it. He had enough. Thou didst tread the sea with thy horses, the heap of mighty waters. I heard, and my body trembled. Probably the earth was trembling too, huh? My lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered into my bones, and I tremble in my place, because I must wait quietly for the day of trouble, for the coming up of the people that invadeth us. Are we being invaded? Yes, we are. And guess what? They are being prepared as a sword against Christianity. And you say, how can God pick and choose between apostate Christians and the others? How could he pick and choose on the Passover? Notice that the Passover passed over all the Egyptians who had the blood on their doorposts. How strong do you think the blood was? Unless you understand it's the blood of Jesus. And then it took out the firstborn of every Egyptian. The firstborn? It picked out the firstborn. This judgment of the destroyer picked out the firstborn in every house. That's pretty particular. God's got absolute control. Remember, he was leading Planet X. He said he wouldn't permit it to come into the houses. Wow. The Lord's sovereignty is awesome. It's awesome. He will destroy who he wants. Am I saying he won't take some good people away? He could take some good people away, you know? He's always merciful, and the sting of death is sin. Remember that. If you don't sin, you're going to have a lot less pain. So, some people will be glad to enter into heaven rather than going into the tribulation, no doubt. But, by and large, he is there to judge the wicked, just as he said in this text. He's not judging the righteous. He can take them home. But the wicked, he is judging with the fierceness of his anger and his indignation, as he spoke here. For though the fig tree shall not flourish, neither shall the fruit be in the vines. Wonder what's happening. The labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no food. The flock shall be cut off from the fold. You know, I don't know if you noticed that the deep state used their weather weapons to destroy the food of the United States. They did it. They did it. And they killed, I don't know how many jillions of cattle and so on. How the folds drowned and so on. And there shall be no herd in the stalls. Well, you know, when there's that much water, nope, there better not be in the stalls. Okay. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. You know why? Because we got nothing to worry about. We know the one who multiplies the fishes and the loaves. And I've seen him do it. And he told me, I'm sending you through a wilderness so you can tell my people I still supply there. That's what he said to me. And I saw him do it. I saw him multiply food. So you can't destroy a people by destroying crops that know God. And here, of course, he said, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Well, was he even saving? What from? Well, the food was gone. Lord, the Lord is my strength, and he maketh my feet like hinds' feet. and will make me to walk upon my high places. See, just as God's able to save you from the floods and provide you with food, He's able to cause you to walk on the high places of God, the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, right? Amen. For the chief musician on my stringed instruments. Amen. Well, this has been interesting. Father, Lord, I ask you to put it in the heart of your people to cry out to you in repentance and humility, asking you for your mercy and grace, asking you for this time for them to turn away from their idols and turn towards the Word of God, making sure that they're being obedient. There's no promise to the disobedient. And the letters to the churches, Lord, was very clear. It's only to him that overcometh that you promise anything. Overcoming what? Overcoming sin. Overcoming sin. There is a rebellion in the church, Lord, that only you can solve. And so we ask you, Father, in Jesus' name, to have mercy upon your elect people. We know that many are called, but few are chosen, which means elect. And that's because the chosen have borne fruit, and the others have not. And, Lord, we're asking for your mercy. Destroy not the vine, because there's a blessing in it. There is a people there, a remnant among your people who are true Christians. Even in their innocence and ignorance, they seek to serve you. They have not knowledge yet to really eat the meat. There are a lot of them on the milk. But Lord, you know them. You know they're doing what they're capable of doing. And we thank you for saving these people, the innocent, though they be ignorant, the innocent. Save them, Lord. And save, Lord, those who we have prayed for and believed for all these years. Save them in the days to come, O Lord. Deliver them from evil by your grace and your mercy, Lord. Let them be those that you have chosen. Grant grace, O Lord, grant grace. Give us grace. We don't deserve it, Lord. We have failed you. Your people have failed you worldwide. And who, being raised up in the carnal nature, has not failed you, Lord? But we who desire to serve you and to be humble before you, Lord, we ask you to save and to deliver. Lord, your people tire of being chased by the wicked. We ask you to be the great Savior and to come and to save and to demonstrate your power like you did at the Red Sea, Lord. What an awesome deliverance. Something they should have remembered all the way through the tribulation wilderness. Wow! You parted the sea and closed it upon their enemies. They walked over dry shod. Wow, Lord, that's awesome. And just such a thing is going to happen here before the wilderness, before the tribulation. Now, Lord, they're trying to make this agreement between Israel and their enemies, and even a UN agreement. And we know that this is going to bring the great earthquakes. So, Lord, thank you for saving your people, sparing your people. Vengeance belongs unto you. You will repay, says the Lord. You'll repay the wicked for the evil that they have done against your work and against your people. The blame that they have put upon your people that belongs upon them. just like the faction in the government has blamed the right wing for all of the troubles when it was them that did it. No conscience whatsoever. Reprobated to the core. Thank you, Lord, for having mercy upon your people and delivering your people out of the hand of the wicked. Thank you, Lord, for smiting the demonic spirits that control your people and keep them in bondage. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your grace. It is so great. We give praise and thanks unto you, O Lord. We ask that you grant every one of us the grace to be obedient and observant to all of your word, even if the people around us don't obey it. Lord, let us obey it. Let us live in your sight, O Lord. Have mercy and grace, and give us the grace to be what we could never be otherwise, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for your mercy towards us, O God. We put our trust and our faith in you. We know that we are justified through faith in Jesus Christ, that he took away our sins and delivered us out of the power of darkness. And we are justified. We are accounted righteous because of faith in what you did, not by our works, not by our ability to keep law, but because of what Jesus did at the cross. We are justified by faith. Thank you for a mighty, mighty move of your Spirit for your people who are justified by faith. Many seek to be justified by works, by things that they have done, which is an abomination in your sight. Help them to know, Lord, that going under the laws of men or the laws of the Old Testament will not save them whatsoever. It's only by grace through faith. Lord, your word says, by grace have you been saved through faith. And that is not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should glory. Lord, we got nothing to brag about. The faith that you have given unto us is moving in us. Lord, give us a greater gift of faith, a greater understanding of your word, and walk in more of it because of our faith. Lord, we know that because of our faith, your works are working through us. For in Christ Jesus were you created for good works. That your works are coming through us by your power, only on the grounds that we believe that Jesus Christ took away our sins. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for sacrificing your life to deliver us from evil. No, not to just cover it up as some of your false preachers out there have proclaimed. It's not all covered by the blood. Willful disobedience is not. Lord, let your people know and read your word and find out about the warning that you give about willful disobedience. Lord, that there's a certain fearful expectation of judgment which shall devour the adversaries. The adversaries meaning the people who are against you because of willful disobedience. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. Draw us. We will run after thee. As the Shulamite, the bride in Song of Solomon said, draw us, we will run after thee. Lord, the worst of men, one of them, of course, was the Apostle Paul, can be great men, the greatest of men, by your grace. Lord, I dare say if you did what you did to Paul, to anybody else, they would have paid attention to you. you would have gotten their attention. And, Lord, so you can save anybody you want to. And you have chosen from the foundation of the world to save some and to deliver others over to judgment until the great day of the Lord. And thank you, Father. Thank you for your mercy towards us. Thank you for your grace for us. We love you and we appreciate you, Lord. Thank you for giving us these revelations, Lord, and helping us to rightly divide the word and understand these things. Thank you for continuing to do this, Lord, with dreams and visions and prophecies, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, telling us what you want, what you expect. Lord, you're saving multitudes of Muslims who have the heritage of demonic possession passed on down to them, and they make great Christians because you're saving them. Lord, now save your people who are in bondage, we ask in Jesus' name. You're able to save the worst of man. We can't look on the outside and judge. They would have judged Paul. Ananias did. He judged Paul unworthy of any kind of salvation because he had done such evil things. And many times we look on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. So, Lord, we ask you in Jesus' name, have mercy on even some of the worst people on the face of the earth and save them as a witness to your glory and your faithfulness and your mercy and your grace. Let it be, O Lord, let it be. We ask in Jesus' name. Well, amen. Thank you for joining us today. Saints, God bless you and keep you. Keep us in your prayers, and we'll do the same for you. And good night. We'll do this again.